And welcome back, Canada, to another episode of MMA Canada Radio on MMACanada.net and MMASucker.com. I am your host, as always, Josh Oliveira. Yeah, we're still in the middle of Manic March 2011, so there are lots of events taking place, and it's easy for some to slip through the crack. One of those, I think, for a lot of people, is the Welterweight World Series, the Golden Glory Welterweight World Series, taking place in Europe in several parts. And Canadians should be aware of that because one of the participants who's already made it through to the semifinal round of that tournament is John the Natural Alessio, one of Canada's best fighters. There's no time like the present for a character like this, and we have him on the line with us right now. First, I'll introduce my co-host, David Stanford. Are you there, David?
I'm here, man. How you guys? Hey, oh, sorry.
Hey, John, how you doing? And John, you're here as well. We're all here.
I'm here and I'm ready.
Before we get into the tournament too much, I do have a lot to ask about that. But I noticed on your Facebook some very conspicuous pictures posted today of you looking a bit like Tom Cruise from Top Gun. Is there a story behind that?
Yeah, actually, one of my training partners at Drysdale Jiu-Jitsu is an active fighter pilot in the military, and he also works with his private company that does these stunt things. So he invited me up one night, and so we went there. It was a couple weeks ago. I did this flight with him in one of those, like, you guys have heard of, like, the Red Bull Flutag events where they do those ray planes and stuff. Well, we go up in one of those planes, and I had the freaking time of my life, but at the same time, I puked the whole time. It was a 45-minute flight of backflips, barrel rolls, and, like, just insane things. We did a 9G turn, and, I lost my stomach on that one right there. But it was very intense,
yeah,
man. Very intense.
They aren't just a regular flight, right? You have to fly kind of through gates, and I don't know if it's hoops, but you have to it's a bit of an obstacle course, right?
Yeah, we didn't do, like, any school course or anything. We just did a flight, but it was, like, a similar type plane. It's a, I can't remember what the plane was called, but it was intense and fast, and I got to be up in the front seat, I even got to fly the plane for about 20 minutes on my own and take us into some rolls and stuff like that, and it was very, very crazy, and flying wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. Of course, I didn't take it off or land it, which I'm sure that's the hard part. But actually, in the air was fairly easy to fly and a lot of fun.
Yeah, apparently not losing your lunch is the other hard part, I guess.
That was really hard, man. I'll be honest, I puked the whole time up there. Like, it was like, we did barrel rolls, and I was like, okay, stop. I'd open the bag, puke, zip it back up, and I'm like, okay, go again. And we'd do it again, and then I'd be like, okay, stop, let me puke, and... Yeah, it was very intense. It wasn't like, I didn't really eat anything, so, it was just like stomach bile or whatever it was, and wasn't really like I was losing a whole bunch of lunch or anything, so it was easy to deal with.
Well, yeah, that sounds intense. Maybe just to turn to something that makes other people feel nauseous, you have a fight upcoming just a couple weeks here on March 29th in Belgium. I think a lot of Canadian fans maybe aren't aware of this tournament, but in Europe, I think it's probably, getting a bit more press. What can you tell listeners who maybe don't know about it, just the basics of this tournament?
Well, it's called Ultimate Glory, put it on by the Golden Glory people in Holland. They basically put together this huge tournament, brought in, a fighter, athlete from every country. My next opponent is, he's Dutch Afghan, so from Afghanistan, lives in Holland. My first opponent was a Russian, there's a Brazilian, there's, pretty much everybody from everywhere, US, Canada, and, they brought us together for, a big tournament over three shows. The first show we had in October in Amsterdam, this one's going to be 11 days away in Charleroi, Brussels, Belgium, and I just got word that the finals are going to be in Moscow, Russia, so I get to really travel Europe at the same time as kick some butt and make some money.
Wow, that's a bit of a scoop. Do you know when the finals are set for in Moscow? Is there a day?
Well, the original date was supposed to be April 9th, but of course they postponed the semifinals from January 30th to March 19th. So I'm sure that the final date would change also, but we haven't been received word yet. So I'm assuming maybe end of April, beginning of May, something like that. But whenever they call and tell us the date, I'll be ready and looking forward to that trip.
Right. I wanted to talk about something, too. Before we talk about your opponent, the Afghan Dutch fighter, you mentioned C.R. Bahadurzadeh. I know that this fight was supposed to take place a little earlier, but you were injured. Did they postpone the event specifically for you to tend to your injury, or did it just kind of work out for you?
Well, I believe it was postponed for Gokhan Faki's injury and my injury as well. And as for people unfamiliar with Gokhan Faki, he's an absolute K-1 beast. And he was in the semifinals at the K-1 tournament. They're doing two tournaments, an MMA tournament and a K-1 tournament. And so I guess they thought with two of the guys being hurt for the semifinals, instead of finding replacements, it would just be easier to postpone and go on with the original format, which, you know, I'm very thankful for. It gave me the opportunity to continue in the tournament. Of course, there's a huge prize, you know, to win the tournament in the finals. So, you know, I couldn't be happier about that. It's a great opportunity. And so, you know, I thank them for postponing it, whether it was for me or for Gokhan or just other reasons that I don't know. I'm happy either way.
Yeah, no, you mentioned the opportunity. It worked out really well.
You mentioned the opportunity there. People had said that, you know, the USC had come knocking not too long ago, just after the tournament had started. And that you turned down their approaches just because you were involved in the tournament and wanted to see that through. Can you tell us anything about that, John?
Yeah, I got the phone call to step in on the UFC Montreal card to fight Matt Riddle, which I thought would have been a great opponent for me and a great fight. You know, of course, being in the UFC and back in Canada would have just been awesome. But I thought the matchup was great and everything, too. But, yeah, you know, with, you know, contractual obligations and things like that, being a man of my word, I just, you know, felt like the best thing to do would be to continue in the tournament. And, I mean, let's be honest, the UFC is not going anywhere. They're going to be the powerhouse of MMA for the rest of mankind. And so they're not going anywhere, and I'm not going anywhere either. I'm continuing to get better as a fighter. I'm more dedicated than I ever have been, so... I figured, why not go win this tournament? It's a huge prize. I would probably make more money winning this tournament than I would fighting Matt Riddle. So, you know, unless I got one of those sweet bonuses. But, you know, then you're fighting for that bonus with 16 other fighters or whatever, 20 other fighters that night. So, you know, your chances are pretty slim. So, yeah, just that's the best thing to do would be to stick it out. And, you know, the UFC wasn't upset with me turning it down or anything. They understand, you know, contract to contract, and that's just the way it is. So, you know, kind of what happened there.
Yeah, if we can get back to the tournament possibly for just a second here, you mentioned your opponent, CR, the great Bahadurzadeh. He actually is a very highly ranked fighter and is well known probably overseas, maybe not as much in Canada. What can you tell fans about his style and how you intend to fight him?
He's tough, you know. Yeah, he's definitely ranked real high. He's 19-4 is his record. And, you know, he only lost as a middleweight to Masaki and George Santiago, who, you know, Santiago just re-signed with the UFC. He was on a good tear. And Masaki, you know, a Japanese legend fighter, you know, he's been in, you know, I think he's done K-1. I think he's done Sengoku, Pride, you know, Dream. I think he's fought in pretty much all of those shows in Japan, you know, and has a huge name in Japan and Asia. And so those are two big losses, you know, for him. I mean, as far as like their big name losses. So like, he's a really tough guy, and I've been studying him and watching him. And I really believe that, you know, his best attribute, being aggressive, can also be his worst attribute. I mean, sometimes when you're super over aggressive, you leave openings and mistakes. And for people that, you know me and have watched me fight before, I capitalize on those things. I find the mistakes that you make, and I'll expose that, whether it's the first round or third round. I will find my timing, and I will make my shot count when it needs to. And so, I like I said, I think him being super aggressive could end up costing him the fight. And I do believe that I'm superior on the ground. I do believe my Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is, you know, becoming top-notch with coach, you know, Robert Drysdale. And I just feel like I'll be better on the ground. I even believe I'm a more technical striker on my feet. I think I throw straighter punches. I think I'm a smarter fighter all around than he is. I'm going to pose a lot of problems. And for people that are writing me off in this fight, I think it's a huge mistake. I'm more mentally strong than I have ever been in my career. I've been focusing a lot of my training on the mental aspect and just strengthening my mind so that whatever happens in the fight, I can get through. And I'm in top-notch shape also. So, you know, everything is just going really well, and I'm going to shock the world and move up the rankings and win this tournament.
Yeah, it looks like you very well could. And if anything, this is possibly, it could be seen as, you know, the best fight available that's left, right? The two best fighters fighting each other in the semifinals. So, yeah, I do think you have just a great chance, especially, as you said, with your probably slightly more advanced technique. Bahadurzada, obviously very strong, but maybe even distracted. I don't know if you've heard, he had some contract disputes with Strikeforce. Do you think that's proving a distraction for him at all?
Yeah, you know, I don't think so. I mean, we all as fighters go through things in our personal lives and in business and situations like that. And I think he's mentally strong enough to just completely block that out by now. And, you know, if he is overlooking me and he is distracted, then it's a big mistake. You know, it's just going to make him fight worse and allow me to really capitalize on the mistakes he makes. And, you know, I know that he wants to come over to North America and fight. I know he wants to make a name for himself. And I think he's going to try to do that off of me. So I think he's very focused on the chance. I'm riding a big fight win streak right now with, you know, and I've been fighting a lot. So, you know, my name has been thrown out there quite a bit in the last year. And I think he's looking to steal that thunder, you know. So I think he's very focused on me right now. And I don't think he's overlooking this at all.
Now, your more patient fighting style, I'm thinking of your fight against Phil Collins at Tashi Palace in December there, the last time we saw you fight when you won the welterweight championship. You know, that was almost the first couple rounds. I think a lot of people were thinking this is, you know, it's a slow fight. There's, you know, you weren't over-engaging. You were very much waiting for him and feeling him out. But then as soon as the third round started, boom, you just landed your punch and the night was done. Is that something you've really been working on when you talk about working on your mental game, is just having that patience in the ring, in the cage, where you're not just going out there balls to the wall, that you're being smart and picking your shot?
Yeah, patience is definitely key, and being relaxed is key also. It's funny, like, you know, only certain people know leading up to that fight what my game plan was, and I even told my wife, she's like one of the only real people that knew beforehand. It was like, I don't mind going in there and losing the first two rounds. I got five rounds in this fight. He can have the first two. We can just chalk those up as his right off the bat. But I'm going to finish him. I will knock him out, or I will submit him. And you know, and I lived up to that, and I had that in my head, and I knew that was going to happen. And I knew he'd be tricky because he switches from southpaw to orthodox and back and forth. So it just took me a minute to find that timing, you know, and I knew that eventually he would try to come in and rush me, and I would find that punch that I was looking for. And everything went exactly how I pictured it in my mind. You know, I knew I was going to give up those first two rounds. You know, I knew I wasn't going to give him up by being dominated. You know what I mean? But I figured he might edge it out on the scorecards because of the judges in our sport. You know, I still believe I landed more punches in those two rounds, but I moved backwards and I did things like that where a lot of the time the judges don't give you those rounds, you know. So that fight was just a matter of fighting real smart.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, how much, like, you've been competing, I mean, whether people realize it or not, you've been in this game as long as anyone, and you talk about the mental aspect, but when you made your UFC debut, UFC 26, fighting Pat Miletich for the title, I mean, that had to be a pretty big growing experience in terms of being a young fighter and getting thrown in the fire like that.
That was an intense night, man. I puked right before I walked out for that fight, and I was kind of thrown to the wolves, and it was too bad that I wasn't given another chance after that. You know, they just kind of stick me in there for a title fight, and a five-time defending champion and a man. I was a little boy. I was 19, 20 years old, and that man was 32 years old. So he is, you know, now I'm now 31 years old. So now I know, you know, I have the mental strength of a man, and knowing, like, when you're fighting a kid, it's a lot different, you know. And I was in a lose-lose situation there, really. I just, as far as, like, my odds, I mean, I'm just being realistic, my odds of winning that fight were horrible, you know what I mean? And I didn't have the same skills that he had. I didn't have the same strength that he had, mentally and physically. And, you know, so they kind of fed me to him to get him, you know, another title defense. And but I learned a lot from that fight. You know, I learned that how much I needed to work on and how much I wasn't quite ready for some of those big fights. You know, when you're a kid, you kind of think you're indestructible, you know, and you can fight anybody and, you know, oh, I can just knock them out, or oh, I'm just going to do this. But it's not the reality, you know, of it all. And so it was a big growing experience for sure. And I learned a lot from the fight, and I'm glad it happened. I would never go back and take that fight back, anything like that. But, yeah, it was definitely a learning experience.
Yeah, and now maybe you've come full circle to an extent. You've established yourself in the game and obviously worked your skills up to a pretty high degree. And now I would think probably offers are coming in for you. And one thing I wonder about, since we have you on MMA Canada Radio, is if you've had offers coming in to fight in Canada, especially Ontario. Now it's being called a fighter's market because there are so many new promotions looking to put on shows. Have you been contacted to fight in Ontario or Canada recently?
You know, that, you'd have to ask my manager that. Since we've been doing the tournament, I've just kind of been remaining focused on that. And I mean, I have been in talks a little bit with the AFC, Armageddon Fighting. Of course, Jason Heights, my really good friend. So we've been talking about competing on that card for a while now. And, you know, that'll be probably something that could happen in the future. But for right now, my number one focus is the tournament. And then after the tournament, winning that would, of course, be getting into the UFC and making my mark there and doing some serious damage.
Mm-hmm. Is fighting in Ontario something that you would be interested in doing as well, or you're more focused with the AFC right now?
No. I'd definitely be interested in fighting in Ontario. I think it's really cool that it's now legal there. But I'm just taking it one fight at a time right now. And for now, I'm envisioning just the CR fight and then going to the finals. But yeah, fighting in Canada is always something that I've always loved to do and want to do again. And hopefully it'll be the UFC in Canada.
Yeah. Well, we wish you best of luck up here on March 19th at Ultimate Glory 13 when you take on CR Bahadurzadeh. That's my best effort at his name over in Belgium. And we appreciate your time taking time to talk with us tonight, John.
Thanks very much for having me. And for everybody who's listening, you can follow me on Twitter, JohnAlessio79. And also to watch the fight live streaming online, it's unitedglory.nl. And it will also be delayed on HDNet.
Awesome.
Okay, great.
What was 69 taken?
What's that?
We got it, bro. Take care, man.
Okay, all right. Okay, man, have a good one. Peace. Right.
Peace. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Okay. I think you hit the nail on the head there, Josh. That fight coming up against CR is... That's a stiff competition he's going up against there. Watching him spar in the Alistair Overeem documentary at TheReem.com. And, he's a stud. He's a tough-ass kid, you know. I think should John come out victorious in that, it'll be an easier fight come the final.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, on the other side of the bracket, you have Ron Carniero and Tommy Duprat, and both quality fighters, but not really on the level of Alessio or CR Bahadurzadeh. So, yeah, again, I think that half of the semifinals is really probably going to be the best fight of the tournament. And, yeah, if John should win, and I think he has a solid chance to, yeah, that would be just great for his career. I wanted to ask him a little bit about Couture versus Machida, given, and maybe even Kamen versus Sanchez, given that... he's training down at Extreme Couture, but it was great of him to join us at all. I guess he is teaching a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu class right now, so just a real busy guy and a real treat to talk to him.
Yeah, no, that's what I could be hear the kids in the back gathering, and I thought it was time we cut him loose there so he doesn't get too many people pulling on the gi. He's on a 7-fight winning streak. Probably really one of the top guys that's not in the UFC when you look at who he has lost to over the past few years. It's really only top guys in the UFC, Diego Sanchez, Thiago Alves, Carlos Condit, the likes of that. So really a top-notch fighter that probably doesn't get the recognition he deserves because he's not in the big show, wouldn't you say?
I think he's slowly working back toward, I guess, the recognition that he deserved. I guess part of the problem was maybe he peaked a little early, you might say. He was doing extremely well in the WEC sort of just a couple years before the World Extreme Cage Fighting promotion really took off. And so some of his best fights, as you mentioned, against Diego Sanchez, that was in the UFC, but also fights with Carlos Condit. Just real high-quality opponents and really great fights, but just not too many people saw them because it was just a little bit early for a lot of the mainstream fans.
Yeah, well, hopefully John will get his due here and come up victorious on the 19th. Definitely awesome to speak with him. And if you want, go to thereem.com for anyone who's listening and check out the documentary Alistair Overeem put together for what was supposed to be going into a fight with Fedor that never materialized. And you can check out John's opponent's CR there sparring with Overeem. And quite a stud, tough little guy out of Afghanistan. So we had kind of a fun little weekend here. We had a couple of title fights in Canada. I was lucky enough to be out at Unified 7 on Friday night to see Travis Briere defeat Chase Maxwell in a 5-round war where basically the fight was spent with Chase on his back and Travis on top. And really exciting kid to watch, Travis Briere, 8-1 now. Chase, of course, getting his first loss and dropping to 6-1. But Tim Hague is really doing something good with his partner, Sunny Singh, and this promotion they've got, Unified 7. It's really turned to be a nice growing ground for young fighters to come up like Briere and work their way through. So kind of exciting there. And as well, in Montreal, Hybrid 8, Mandel Nalo defeated Alexander Arsenault via Anaconda in the second round to win the welterweight title there for the Hybrid promotion. Josh,
are those sorry to expose my ignorance maybe a slight bit. Do you know those Hybrid cards, are they professional or amateur mixed martial arts? Because I wasn't able to locate many of the records of the fighters very easily.
No. When I say Hybrid, or when they say Hybrid, they mean Hybrid. They even wear shin pads. They've got the heavier gloves on. I think they might even be 16-ounce.
Okay.
You'd have to go through. Yeah, and a lot of the kids they're fighting, they've got extensive records through the organization, and so they're really learning their chops, and I think Hybrid's a perfect example of the kind of organizations we need to see around Canada that are really focusing on amateur mixed martial arts, because I think there's such a stigma about, people fighting under a rule set that isn't the unified rules and has, more protection. But that's really what people need to be doing to learn the skills, and especially kids growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, thanks for clearing that up just a little bit there. And Travis Briere, maybe if we can touch on it just one little bit more on his title win there at Unified. This was his first title defense, I think, after winning the title in a fight with Ricky Goodall out of the East Coast. But what kind of fight was it? The scores were clearly pretty one-sided for Briere, so was Maxwell just kind of hanging in there and taking his lumps and just exhibiting a lot of toughness, or what kind of fight was this?
Exhibiting toughness, not just hanging in there. He was busy from the bottom, always looking for submissions, whether it was triangles, arm bars. He was very busy, never sat down once during the fight, stayed standing through the whole fight during the breaks. To Briere's credit, his submission defense was slick. There were a few times where he was in a bit of trouble, but always popped out. And when he was free, he was landing shots from the top. He's a really tough, strong kid, really muscular, 170-pounder, whereas Chase Maxwell is a lankier fighter. And so Maxwell was busy, but it doesn't matter how busy you are when you're getting punched in the face. And so it was clearly, you know, a fight where every round went to Briere, with the exception of the second round. There were two judges that gave that to Maxwell, and clearly there could be an argument made for that. Yeah, Briere dominated the fight. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes. You know, he's I think he's probably going to stick with Unified for a while. He's been there for at least the past year and come up with the promotion as they've developed. Yeah, it was an exciting show. You know, it's when I think of Unified, I think of it as sort of a really big party with fights going on in the middle. So for anyone who hasn't been there and is in the Alberta area, whenever they're putting on a show, it's worth checking out for sure. But out on the East Coast, we also had UGC 26 that was back, a mixed boxing MMA card. One bout on there of, or a couple of particular note, Misha Sirkunov was victorious on the card, but Ali Nestor made his return to MMA to face journeyman Tim Skidmore, and Tim ended up with this huge gash on his forehead, which if you go to either our Facebook page or MMACanada.net, and there's a picture of this 14-stitch gash that Skidmore received from an elbow from Nestor. And yeah, pretty insane. And you can also catch the video on YouTube. So yeah, some exciting action that was out there in Montreal as well. So yeah, it's a busy month, man. It's coast to coast right now.
I did check out that cut. That cut was pretty gross. I encourage people to have a look if you're into that kind of thing. And it is a busy month. We're going to get into it just in a second here with a whole slew of fight announcements for both March and April, as well as a bit of a weekend preview. But maybe before we do, we can give some listeners out there a bit of a heads up about a new development at MMACanada.net, the spot where they can read about all of these you know, events in the country. The site has relaunched with an entirely new design, and from what I understand is still going to be rolling out with more features in the coming days. This, for you, I think in particular, has been a long journey towards this. How does it feel, and what are your thoughts on the new site?
It's been a long journey. Anyone who wants to ever undertake running a website, I challenge them to do so. It's a lot of work, and a lot of the programming that goes on in the back end takes a while. But no, we've relaunched, got the new platform. Like you said, we're going to be coming out with new things, not just over the next few days, but over the next few weeks. About a month from now, we'll launch the online store. But for now, we've come out with our revamped news section, revamped events section. We've redone the TV section. So now it's really nice. You can full screen everything, navigate nicely. And the biggest feature, which I find, is we've added the forum. We just plugged that in today, so it's fresh. Just started up. So for anyone who hasn't been there, go to MMACanada.net, register a user account, and let's get this cracking. It's just got turned on this afternoon at about 6 o'clock Eastern time. And so I'm looking forward to going in there and having a chat with the people who are out there. And it's kind of neat, too, a lot of community features where you can follow the people you're interacting with really focus on MMA within the Canadian community, and those people that are international and listening abroad that are just interested in what's going on in Canadian MMA. I assume you've had a chance to check out the new site.
Yeah, no, I checked it out. At first, when the new site launched, the community features were down. You weren't able to log in and comment. But now that they're up and running, we put the word out about that, and people are starting to notice. And it is exciting. It's nice to have comments on the stories, especially stories that maybe you contributed to or wrote, and just to have that level of interaction. I think is something the old site was missing to a point. It had, of course, a community section, but there's just so many more ways to interact now, and I think that's probably one of the better aspects of the new site. So it is definitely a momentous event for us, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the site evolves from here. I've heard of a few different features that will be added, and not to spoil anything, but I think it's only going to get better for sure. Covering some of the bigger stories, maybe the biggest story to come out in Canadian MMA just in the last week or so. As it turns out, the super fight at lightweight at MFC 29 Conquer, Cajun Rajan Johnson versus Marcus Davis will no longer be happening, or at least it never, I don't think, was official. It was just kind of announced tentatively, but not on the table due to an injury to Cajun Johnson's shoulder. So definitely very unfortunate. Cajun coming in with just a lot of momentum after a dominant performance at MFC 27, and obviously Marcus Davis having that worldwide appeal and recognition from the fans. I think that would have been a huge fight. MFC has done a good job of, I think, finding Davis a similar opponent in Curtis DeMars, although maybe one with not quite the level of a flash and experience of Cajun Johnson. So we're looking at maybe slightly easier road into the MFC for Marcus Davis, but what's your take on this fight?
Well, no, I would agree with you. I think right now Cajun is definitely one of the most highly ranked lightweight fighters in Canada, above DeMars. And DeMars just coming off that loss to Richie Whitson, whereas, Cajun's coming in on, having lost his second last fight, but coming out and really dominated Ryan Healy in his last fight. So it would have been nice to see Cajun. It's kind of disappointing. This is his second fight in a row where he's been injured and we haven't been able to see him fight. And I think he's a really exciting fighter who, if you haven't checked it out, go on to Facebook, Team Rajan. He's got his tunes up there that he puts together with, it sounds like Ryan Chiappi's kid is doing the mixing for him. And so, yeah, Cajun's got his rap music up there. And so it would have been nice to see him back. He's a colorful character. Everyone enjoys having him around. But either way, I think Marcus Davis will be the favorite going into the fight, regardless of who he's taking on. And given DeMars's propensity to stand and bang with a willing opponent, which he will definitely find in Marcus Davis, I think that could go poorly for him. Davis is, he's a highly experienced veteran who, even though he's just been released by the UFC, the fight he got released after, he was dominating up until he got caught. So unless his chin's gone on him, I'd favor Davis going into that one. But it's really an opportunity for DeMars to make a name for himself, don't you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, he had one opportunity, I think, against Whitson there where, even in a loss, I think he did boost, some recognition around the world, particularly being on HDNet and in such a competitive, exciting fight. So I think there'll be a lot of people out there looking to see how he can do against another tough opponent and maybe one who won't be inclined to take him down. Obviously, Davis's striking is quite a bit more refined. But this is a great chance, I think, for Curtis DeMars, and I don't, in any way blame him for jumping on it. I think that anytime you can fight a guy with name recognition, a lot of time, even in a loss, you can do favors for your career. All right, well, that's April 8th. If we can jump back just a week and a bit to March 25th, just today it was announced that Joe Dirksen, longtime Canadian standout fighter out of Winnipeg, recently released from the UFC on the back of a pair of difficult losses, has a big fight signed now against Hector Lombard. That's the Bellator middleweight champion, a bit of a knockout artist. Yeah, that fight going down in Sydney as well, where Lombard has a title in the Cage Fighting Championships promotion of Australia that he's defended for years now. So I think the promoters are looking to get another win for Lombard there, but Joe Dirksen, how much do you think he has left to give? His fights in the UFC at the tail end there of this most recent stint were pretty competitive, and do you think that maybe he can give Lombard some trouble?
I don't know that he can give Hector Lombard any trouble, but I totally agree that his fights there in the UFC were competitive. I think of that scramble that he and CB Dolloway went through. That was one of the greatest scrambles I've ever seen. That was so entertaining to watch. Unfortunately, he was the one who got caught at the end of it. But Hector Lombard, I mean, my God, this guy's a stud. I mean, there's not many guys that I would easily apply that term to, but he's a muscular, mean dude who comes in to do harm and punches hard. He's strong. He's got a deep gas tank. He's been through the five rounders. And I don't know, if it goes to the ground, I would give a shot to Joe. I think he's savvy enough and has definitely been around and knows the game enough to put Lombard away there. But Hector Lombard's got to be favored going into that, and particularly being in Sydney, you know, where he's at home. Definitely rooting for Joe, but that's one of those fights where you see a friend going into it and it's like, oh man, okay, we're behind you, but, you know, hands up.
he better keep his hands up. Even in the first round, right away, Lombard is always a threat and just a very dangerous fighter. He could really probably contend at middleweight in the UFC, just a real high-quality fighter. So, yeah, no, it is a tough fight, although I agree with you that on the ground is where Dirksen has his best shot. A guy like Lombard, though, just a real muscly guy like that, is tough to get there on the ground when he doesn't want to be there. So maybe Dirksen can wear him out, and maybe he can catch a lucky shot. You never know what can happen in MMA, but that is an exciting fight, and good for him to be headlining a major card. And it's good for him to probably travel out of Winnipeg at this time of year as well.
Well, and I mean, I wouldn't, I don't totally count it out, because I remember watching Hector Lombard fight Brian Ebersol, who just defeated Chris Lytle in his UFC debut, and that fight was back in 2008, and Lombard won the fight through TKO in the fourth round, but if you think that a guy like Brian Ebersol, who's not a particularly big guy in stature, can go the distance with Lombard, then, you know, I guess we shouldn't sell El Dirte short by any means. So it'll be exciting to see how Joe fares in that.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Ebersol coming off the big unexpected victory over Chris Lytle. So there's something to that guy. I mean, he's got a bit of a wacky style, definitely unorthodox, but he seems to find ways to make it work. I think Lytle, though, it was announced afterward, had a pretty serious knee injury, and it looked like he was the better, more technical fighter. He just couldn't seem to really catch a break in that fight. But in any case, we're a bit off topic. Ebersol, definitely one to keep an eye on. Also this week, in terms of recent announcements, we have a new main event for MMA The Reckoning on April 2nd in Orillia, Ontario. This was originally going to be Jordan Mean versus Matt McGrath, but he pulled out because he's fighting actually this coming weekend, and those two fights would be too close together. But Jordan Mean now set to fight a sort of longtime UFC, I don't know if I want to call him a standout, but definitely he was a recognizable face probably to most MMA fans just in the past few years. He had a bit of a run of tough luck in the UFC and was ejected from the promotion like so many others. But the People's Warrior has won a few of late and, you know, probably comes into this fight looking at it as his ticket or close to his ticket back to the top with the kind of run Jordan Mean is on. And to me, this seems like maybe even a better main event than what was scheduled before with McGrath, and just another chance, from Mean's perspective, to continue putting himself on the map as he did with that big win over Joe Riggs. So he's got a sort of similar fight here, and if it plays out the same way, it seems like it'll prove once again that this guy really does have the skills to pay the bills, as it were. What do you make of this new main event?
This is, to me, as an MMA fan, this is like college football. This is when guys are going balls out. These are two guys that want to get back. One wants to get to the show. One wants to get back to the show. Berkman's coming in on, I believe, a three-fight winning streak. Jordan, of course, coming in on a three-fight winning streak. But these guys are both young. They're both hungry. Comparable records. Jordan at 20-7. Berkman at 21-8. So this is, to me, the ideal fighting situation. This is the kind of thing I love when you have two young guys that are hungry and really want it, and they're going to go in there. They're capable of banging on the feet. They're capable of taking it to the ground and really grappling at a high level. So I agree with you. This fight as a main event far surpasses what they had and really makes the MMA The Reckoning card that much more engaging. You know, and of course, for Ontario fans, you've got Misha Sirkinov on there, Chris Horodecki against an as-yet-to-be-determined opponent. Although Meehan and Berkman might not be the big names in Ontario, they're definitely names that the hardcore fans are watching and will be very interested to see how that fight plays out in April.
Mm-hmm. Have we heard about the situation with this card, the Reckoning card, and whether or not it'll be available with pay-per-view online in any way? Have you heard anything about that?
No, there hasn't been any news, and I'm in touch with the people putting it on. And, yeah, still a bit slow to get that info, considering that we are, you know, into the first week of March. But I think that'll be the case with a lot of these promotions in Ontario that are, you know, really just learning what ducks they have to get in order, let alone getting the ducks in order, right? It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I'm very curious to see who they'll have Horodecki against, what kind of opponent they can find for him at lightweight. We'll see. Other new fight announcements, though, around your way, Armageddon FC for their Armageddon AFC 5 Judgment Day card, they've had some new bout announcements, no?
A couple. The main event in particular, well, actually, it's a little unclear which is going to be the main event. There are two major fights. One featuring, of course, the news has been out for a while now, Sarah Kaufman, Victoria's own Strikeforce, two-time women's welterweight champion, will make, you know, a return to Victoria, where she hasn't fought in some time, or, you know, possibly ever. I'm not sure about her young career, but certainly not since, her rise to fame. So this will be great, I think, for the local fans to see Sarah in action whenever she would enter the ring at previous Armageddon events. She would get the biggest ovation of the night, sometimes, even a better reaction than possibly a knockout on the card. So when you're more popular than the fights themselves, when you're in a fight, that should translate into some ticket sales, and I think it's a great move by Armageddon. As far as her opponent, it's a Molly Helsel at 8-12-1. Now Kaufman holds a TKO victory over Molly in the past, but Helsel's record is a little bit misleading. At 8-12, she's faced a lot of the better women out there on the circuit, and you know, this certainly won't be, you know, just a walkthrough or some kind of a nap for Kaufman. She's going to have to get in there, and she's going to have to work her own game. And you know, she's coming off a loss herself. So this will be, I think, a great opportunity for her in front of her hometown crowd to get her game working again, and maybe then look at getting back into the Strikeforce mix, where things just keep getting more and more interesting. Just recently, this past weekend, the fighter who defeated Sarah to take her belt, Marlos Conan, was in just a really tough, perhaps unexpectedly tough fight against Liz Carmouche, a Marine out of the United States, and just a real powerful young lady who really gave the champion a run for her money. So possibly Carmouche versus Sarah Kaufman could be a fight that we could make in Strikeforce for a title shot while Marlos takes care faces with Misha Tate, and then maybe those winners could face each other. So Sarah's got lots of good fights on the horizon, and this one, I think, is obviously very winnable for her, but should be just a great fight for herself and for the fans as well. And of course, you never know what can happen. Also on that card, I'm not sure which is the main event or which is the co-main event, but Nick Hinchliffe, long-time AFC fan favorite, has headlined a couple of their cards, is making the drop down to welterweight, this coming off a perhaps somewhat surprising loss at the TFC promotion in a middleweight title fight there against BC's Bastien Huveniers. So Nick, he had a great run at middleweight, lots of wins, and you know, a couple of tough losses like that one against Huveniers, where it was, you know, a little bit disputable. But in any case, I think he was always better suited to the welterweight division. Just, you know, working full-time as he does, it's not always easy to dedicate yourself to diet and exercise the way you need to fight at your ideal fight weight. But Nick, I think, has really stepped it up and shown his dedication to the game is even more extreme than we already thought. And he's fighting at welterweight against Ryan Mahan, which I think is a great fight. Ryan, obviously, well known to Canadian MMA fans, and has been in some tough fights, wins over Cajun Johnson and James McCutcheon, but losses to McGrath and Guillaume de la Renzi. So, you know, he's been up and down, but I think this is a great barometer for Nick Hinchcliffe and just to see exactly where he stands in the welterweight division. You've probably seen Ryan fight several times being out in Alberta. What are your thoughts on his skills and abilities at welterweight?
Well, this is kind of reminds me of the Meehan Berkman fight, although it's a Canadian one, and that rather than trying to go for the show, these guys are both coming off of losses. Like you said, Ryan lost to Matt McGrath at W1 Newground when they did their show out in Halifax, and Nick losing to Juveniers at the Fight Club's last event. This is a really good matchup. I think Hinchcliffe's better suited to 170. You know, he always looked like there was maybe some weight to lose at 185, even if he were to, you know, really, you know, tone things up. And Ryan at 170 doesn't have to, you know, cut to 155, so he's a healthier guy. So this is really going to be a good barometer to see where each of these guys are at. And as well on that card, you know, the Derek Medler, Jared Milko fight, that'll be interesting. Jared Milko just coming off his title victory at Two Tough One down in Lethbridge in February. So that AFC card is shaping up to, you know, have quite a bit of good talent. I assume you being based in Victoria will have luxury of being there at the show.
I plan to be there, and maybe you're playing coy, but it was my understanding you're going to come up for the show as well, so maybe we'll have to, you know, sit there and critique the fight face-to-face.
For Canadian MMA fans that are hardcore, if you want to go to the West Coast, you've got BFL 7 taking place in Nanaimo on March 26th. You stay out on the island for a week and then head down to Victoria and go to AFC 5. The following weekend on April 2nd. So that's what I'm looking to do, is take a nice little week holiday out on the coast and catch a couple of good cards and really the top two promotions out there on the West Coast, and just kind of get a taste of where West Coast MMA is at, and hopefully taste some of your home cooking and see what your couch feels like to sleep on and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, well, that's definitely available to you anytime that you want it. You did mention the Battlefield 7 card. That's another deep card actually happening before the AFC card, as you mentioned, a week ahead of time, and with possibly the bigger main event with Dennis Kang taking on Jesse Taylor. This isn't news, of course. This has been known for a while. But yeah, you're right. Those are a couple big cards and just a week apart. So, yeah, that's definitely something to look forward to from my perspective. And, you know, anyone you can encourage to come out here, we're always looking to make friends out here in BC. So, yeah, come on down for sure.
Well, it's like Darcy McBride, the host of TKO Radio, came out for the last MFC card here at Edmonton. And his vehicle broke down on the way. You can imagine the story that ensues when your vehicle breaks down in the middle of the night in the Rocky Mountains in the middle of nowhere. And literally, he came in sweating just as the card was starting to his seat. So,
yeah.
You know, there are people that are that hardcore that drive 1,300K just to go see a card. So, yeah, I encourage everyone to join me on the week-long trip out to the West Coast to catch some West Coast MMA. It should be good cards. Looking forward to it.
As long as we're talking about AFC, we should mention to listeners who may not be aware that their Dragon's Den, their long-awaited Dragon's Den episode, airs tomorrow night, actually, at 8 p.m. I think that might be Eastern and Pacific. I think the CBC probably shows it, you know, separately in different time zones. But maybe check your local listings for sure, and look out for Darren Owen as well as Jason Haidt, appearing on the CBC on the Dragon's Den, trying to make a deal, cut a deal with the well-known venture capitalists on that show.
Yeah, no, that'll be interesting. I've had a friend go on Dragon's Den, and it was actually interesting. He was able to put it to them and got them to invest in. For anyone who's out there, go to Canadian Tire, look for the Kelvin 23. It's the multi-purpose tool that no home should be without. I gave everyone in my family one for Christmas. They're awesome. But yeah, my buddy Kevin came up with this. He got investors from them. He got Debbie Travers to be his spokesperson. He's in Home Depot, Canadian Tire, all that kind of stuff now. So it really went well for him. And it'll be great to see how Jason Haidt and Darren Owen do tomorrow night when they're in the Dragon's Den. And I'm curious to hear what their business plan is, you know, what's their pitch going to be like. I don't suppose you've got any tidbits from either of them, speaking to them before the show?
No, they've been notoriously tight-lipped about it, but I do actually plan to watch it with them. They're hosting a viewing party, anyone who's listening to this in Victoria. I believe it's Lucky Bar at, again, 8 p.m. is the screening time, so I'll be there with them, and then maybe there'll be some popping of champagne afterwards. I'm not entirely sure. I did get the sense I have over the last few months that it wasn't entirely bad news. It seems like possibly things went well for them in some regard. So, I mean, that's not really based on too much, but I do anticipate that there'll be some interest from the Dragons. And I don't see why not, really. MMA in Canada is really one of the hottest commodities out there. And, I mean, why wouldn't you, as a venture capitalist, see the value in that and try to get in on it on the ground floor? That's sort of what you know, the entire job entails as a venture capitalist, and so I think that their chances are very strong of striking some kind of deal, or at least piquing the interest of the Dragons. These are pretty in touch people, and they can read a trend like MMA coming a mile away.
Yeah, no, for sure. Interesting, almost tomorrow as well, March 9th. taking place in Afghanistan. We were talking about Afghanistan earlier, and on the other side of the planet. But Rec MMA has gone over there for their next card because of, you know, secrecy rules around being on a military base and stuff. They weren't able to release news of it till, you know, literally, 4 days ago, so just before they were heading there. But it's really exciting to hear that those guys are going over and taking fights to the troops again, you know, something the UFC hasn't even been able to do yet.
Yeah, no, I think probably it's a little easier even for a smaller promotion in terms of remaining under the radar, but obviously nonetheless, no less commendable for anyone who makes that trip. I think they have the full cooperation of the Canadian government, I believe, which helps. But I don't know, if I were stationed in Afghanistan, I know I would be just thrilled to hear that just about anyone was coming over to fight. And they're actually sending some pretty decent talent, from what I understand. Mike Riley, for example, coming off that win, you know, not necessarily a major win, but a win over Robin Black, a televised one. So, as well as two teams. They're doing a team versus team out there. Pat Cooligan's team from Ottawa Academy of MMA versus Chris Clements, quite a well-known fighter out of Adrenaline MMA in London. So I think it's a cool way to do it. You know, you can't just send people from all over the country there. It makes sense to go as teams, and I'm sure the troops will you know, be thrilled to have them. I think they were the first time, and will be again. But also, at the same time, Rec MMA made a couple announcements for a May 6th show, title fights. Did you want to let the fans in on that a little bit, David?
Yeah, well, we've got Brad Cardinal, who's going to be taking on Jesse Gross, who's 6-0 from out east, really standout fighter. They're going to be battling it out for the lightweight title. And as well, Eric Wilson, undefeated at 5-0, is going to be taking on John Fraser for the bantamweight title, who will be going into that fight with a 7-3 record. So, yeah, it's exciting to see Rec moving into doing the title fights. Of course, that'll be their second card as a part of the SCORE Fighting Series. So they're, I think, trying to step up the anticipation people be having for the card by bringing out the belts now and starting to hand those out. And Cardinal versus Gross is definitely an exciting fight to check out. I mean, Brad being the number 4 ranked Canadian fighter right now, and Jesse being the 13th ranked Canadian lightweight fighter. It's a really engaging matchup. And as well, Wilson and Fraser at bantamweight should be quite an exciting fight. Surprisingly enough, Markel Wedderburn will be back on the card against Bill Khabib. I thought after his incident with Mark Holst at the last one, that might be the end of his run with Rec, but apparently he has worked his way back onto that card. So it'll be interesting to see how he does against an extremely wily veteran in Nabil Khabib at a catch weight of 175. And like I said, everyone will be able to catch that. If they're not paying for the pay-per-view online, you'll be able to catch it on the SCORE a couple of weeks after. Before all that, though, this weekend, we've got the Aggression MMA 6 card coming up here in Edmonton, featuring Ryan Ford against Johnny J.J. Davis in the main event, a bantamweight title fight between Diego Wilson, as well as the beginning of the Aggression MMA lightweight tournament, which suffered kind of an odd turn this week due to a couple injuries, the fourth bout of the four-tournament bracket. Isn't going to take place at this event. It'll be at an upcoming show, so we're only getting three of the fights this time around. I don't know. Let's get to the main event after, Josh, and let's maybe just talk about this lightweight tournament a bit here, because it's really, you know, it's interesting. We've got Brad Cardinal, who we already mentioned, as well other top-ranked fighters. We've got Kurt Southern, who Brad will be facing, the number 10-ranked Canadian lightweight. As well, Shane Campbell, the number 7 rank, taking on Dave Mazzani, who trains out of the Wand fight team in Las Vegas and actually fought Ryan Ford, who is being featured in the main event. So it's quite an engaging tournament lineup. Have you got a favorite going into this?
Well, a couple of early favorites maybe that stand out are Brad Cardinal and, again, Shane Campbell, just because of the high-level competition in the Muay Thai. But it is unfortunate that the fourth fight at lightweight won't be on this card. They've announced, Aggression, that the fourth fight will happen at an upcoming card, which to me means that the second round of the tournament can't happen until two events away. So it really sets the whole tournament back slightly. At the same time, though, that's just part and parcel, I suppose, of running a tournament. They dealt with a lot of injuries near the nearing fight date, and it kudos to them for at least keeping on track to this point. You know, it's not ideal, but it is what it is. Mostly to me, though, when I think about this card, and especially with Diego Wilson fighting out of Zuma on it as well, taking on Josh Hill for a title, what stands out to me really is still the lack of pay-per-view. I mean, maybe it's just a hardcore fan like myself, but the SCORE fighting series, although it is commendable and certainly as a promotion, I would like to be involved with it. The tape delay is far from ideal, and further, you know, complicating matters is that the SCORE doesn't really promote your event separately or even necessarily announce when. At least not very publicly, when it will be aired. So it just kind of gets shuffled into the deck of past events, it seems, on the SCORE there. And it loses, I think, some of the promotional benefit you would normally hope for from a major station like that. So maybe in the future the SCORE will do a better job of promoting these events as standalones, or at least you know, tying them into the promotion. But in the meantime, what I would prefer is for these promotions like Aggression, such a major promotion, making big moves across the country with fighters from across the country. What I would like really is for them to make the fights available live nationwide. But you know, that's just my rant.
Yeah. Well, I'll see if I can figure out a way to hook up a video stream with my cell phone or something, and do the best I can for you. No, I agree. And it's a good point you bring up with the SCORE fighting series, because I think for promotions they can get lost in that, because literally they'll have fights on from 4 years ago or longer. I remember catching Hardcore Fighting out of Calgary there not long ago. And, you know, and in the mix you've got shows that happened a couple weeks ago. And so I think you're right in that it's difficult for the current promotions to gain traction, because viewers don't really know the difference from what they're getting. Was this 4 years ago, or was this last week, or when was it? It's good for the exposure, but I think the SCORE, yeah, they really could tighten things up. And I'm surprised that they wouldn't, given the announcement that, you know, Rogers has just signed on a new 4-year deal with the UFC. You know, the Canadian market's hungry for it, and I think to compete, if you're not with the UFC, well, you've got to be smart about how you do it outside of the UFC. And we've seen how HDNet's been successful in being able to do that the Fight Network through buying old libraries of tapes. So, yeah, it'd be good to see the score kind of jump on board and help support the Canadian MMA shows more. And, you know, why not do a live broadcast? I mean, Spike seems to have trouble with it sometimes and not at others, but I think a live broadcast on the score would be super cool.
It can be complicated by expenses of having the broadcast trucks there and whatnot, but at the very least, I would think that the score would benefit as well from promoting the event in its first run as an event, as exactly what it is, right? Rather than just sneak it into the programming lineup in some spot where people don't know how to find it, why not run a couple commercials? Why not even, at least on the website, say, you know, this week is the debut of Aggression MMA 6 on the score. I'm sure if you look for it, you can find it, but I don't feel personally like the score is doing a great job of letting people know just when and where they can see particular fights. So that's something I would like to see improved. And again, in the meantime, I would, and even, you know, at any time, I would prefer the live event, you know, the pay-per-view stream online at the very least. Again, with the broadcast trucks, as far as getting it on the score live, I think that may be more expensive. I'm not exactly sure how that works, but I think, you know, with the stream, it's cost-effective, and from what I understand from promoters, relatively easy to set up through third-party companies like GoFight Live, and I just personally enjoy it so much when it is made available, and wish it were more often. But the card is excellent. That's why I want to see it, right? I mean, Ryan Ford in that main event taking on a game opponent in Johnny Davis. We don't know too much about him. He doesn't have kind of the caliber of opponents that Ryan Ford does, but a similar record, and that's going to be worth watching. Again, Diego Wilson, Josh Hill in a bantamweight title fight, the opening three fights of the four-fight first round of the lightweight title tournament that's been much discussed on this station as well as on the website. And even further to that, there's a featherweight number one contenders match between Adam Lorenz and Will Romero out of Montreal there. So we do have just a very high-quality fight on our hands here, a high-quality fight card.
Well, and even the prelim card, the one bout that really stands out for me that's probably going quite under the radar is Brent Dewsbury, a kid who trains at Lee Meehan's gym in Lethbridge, coming in at 5-0, going in against Mike Scarcello, who's undefeated, who trains with Legends Gym here in Edmonton, Ryan McGillivray, in his camp. And both these guys are young, real young kids, raw, but both really hungry, really talented, soaking up the game, learning and improving, and that's going to be a really engaging fight. And, you know, for the local fans, Mukai Maromo's on the card. He's, you know, kind of risen to prominence quite quickly in his young MMA career after coming over from a successful career in Muay Thai. He'll be taking on Tim Tamaki. And other names like Jason Gorney, Keenan Feeney. So, yeah, it should be quite an engaging card. As well, then, moving on to Saturday night over in Montreal, MFL4, Major Fight League, is going to be putting on their show with Martin Desolet taking on Anthony Ria from France in the main event. Desolet was unable to fight in Quebec for quite a while because of being unable to be licensed by the commission. So he'll be making his first appearance in Quebec since the demise of XMMMA. But I guess that'd be 2009. So it'll be exciting to see how Desolet faces against a game kickboxing opponent in Ria. And as well, Stéphane Vigneault coming in, who's an old UCC TKO vet, taking on Matt McGrath. It's kind of interesting. How often do we say Matt McGrath's name in a show? It'd be interesting to measure that. Hey, he's everywhere.
Yeah, no, he's fighting literally, you know, as much as he possibly can, sometimes scheduling fights to fight more often than he possibly can, which leads to problems like we saw with the Reckoning card. But certainly McGrath is not one to shy away from any kind of fight, tough fights, generally, and you know, he is still getting better and is still fairly young in his career at just 14 fights, and maybe it's about time he can go on a run here, maybe starting with a tough opponent in Vigneault, and then who knows, right? But Matt McGrath certainly busy, I agree. And Martin Desailly, I think, also flying under the radar of a lot of Canadian fans. His Francophone background, as you mentioned, probably part of that. But a real top quality fighter. You knocked off those two wins in a row, controversial or not, against another tough fighter in Victor Valimaki there in the former TFC promotion since the demise of XMMA, and now returning to Quebec, you know, probably to a hero's welcome. So another high quality main event, and that seems to be becoming the norm on these pro cards. I think promoters in Canada are really getting behind the notion that you need a real high-quality main event, and it's something that I'm happy to see.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting. You know, having someone like Desailly, who's, you know, currently ranked number two right behind Ryan Jimmo, ahead of guys like, you know, Christoph Szczesny, Steve Bossy, it's going to be really exciting to see him get back fighting in Quebec and hopefully being able to get some traction there. I was really surprised to hear that he'd signed with MFL rather than, you know, the obvious choice being Ringside, who really seems to be the promotion on the make there. And, you know, after the semi-debacle with the main event at the last MFL show with Gary Goodridge walking out right before his fight, it'll be interesting to see how this one goes. You know, I know the attendance at the last one was a little shy, but they had that fight on the same night as the UFC card, and any time a promoter does that, I'm just scratching my head going, why would you put your show on the same night as the show everyone watches? But no such troubles this time around. So, yeah, people definitely head down to the Centre Pierre Charbonneau in Montreal on Saturday night to check about MFL4. Should be awesome. We'll have the results for you as they happen on MMAcanada.net, as well as fight photos the next day, as well as from Aggression. People that are also interested in going to see maybe some amateur fights, some of MMA's taking place in Brossard, Quebec, which is just outside Montreal at Le Scratch de Brossard. So be sure to check that out if you aren't so inclined to go to MFL. As well on Saturday night, people in the lower mainland area of the West Coast in Vancouver, if you want to head over to the Edgewater Casino, BFL 6 is taking place. Really engaging main event in my books. Amateur MMA, of course, because that's all that's allowed in Vancouver right now, but pro by any other name. Matt Dwyer taking on Mika Brakefield. This is Team Havoc against West Coast BJJ. Josh, can you give us any insight on this fight?
Well, both of these fighters are BFL regulars, and you're right to point out that the quality of fights on a battlefield amateur card is very similar to a pro card. I think under other circumstances in the city of Vancouver, these would be pro fights. So both have fought multiple times in the promotion and have a good head of promotional steam behind them, and are actually meeting in a catchweight fight. Matt Dwyer of Team Havoc out of Kelowna generally fights at welterweight, but he's a huge welterweight. I believe 6'6", very lanky, and uses that reach to great effect in his striking game. Taking on a middleweight in Mika Brakefield, whose striking is solid but is known even more for his wrestling, and he's coming out of West Coast BJJ in Vancouver, so he may have a bit of the hometown crowd behind him. If Mika can make the weight without depleting himself too significantly, I would give him an edge in this fight just based on his size and wrestling background, which, as we all know, is a very solid background to have. But given that he's fighting closer to Matt Dwyer's weight, I think this becomes a real toss-up and just a real great fight. In any case, also on the card, there are other fights worth looking forward to. Similar matchup between Chris Day and Jeremy Kennedy, also a Team Havoc versus West Coast BJJ in the co-main event, and that's a featherweight title eliminator. the winner, I'm not sure if they'll be taking on Gary Mangat, the current title holder. I believe that's actually not the case. I believe that he's vacating that title to turn pro, and that as a result, the winner of this is going to fight Tristan Storrs out of the States, who Battlefield 10 have also seen. So, yeah, no, those are two really solid fights. Again, fights that would be pro in a lot of other provinces. Also on the card, Battlefield standouts such as Ash Mishregi, Ben Cote, Jeremy Peaver. So it should be another quality card from a quality promotion. And also the last card before their big pro debut in Nanaimo on March 26th, which is just 2 weeks later. So that's definitely something to look out for from Battlefield in the future. They're switched to professional fights, but they haven't abandoned the amateur scene by any means and will continue to promote amateur-only cards in Vancouver with regularity and, you know, probably even on the up-and-ups with bigger and better cards until finally the Vancouver City Council and Athletic Commission cave and do what everyone wants them to do, which is to regulate professional fights openly, honestly, even-handedly, and for everyone, which so far they've shown no interest in doing. So, you know, these amateur cards are real high quality, and one way to get the Vancouver City Council on board is to show your support. So if you're in Vancouver, this event may be sold out. Definitely look into that, but continue to support the Battlefield Fight League if you can, and other fight leagues as well. The Seeing Red promotion also doing great work in Vancouver. One other note, of course, on the undercard of the Battlefield 6 event, we have MMA Sucka reporter, as well as 24-hour newspaper contributor and Fat Lip radio host Trevor Duick fighting in a one-off event against a more experienced, probably harder-hitting opponent, but in Tony Nguyen. But Trevor is going to be game, and he's going to be looking, openings probably on the ground, and we're going to see what he's made of, and I think a lot of MMA fans around here are excited to see it and wish him luck. So yeah, that's my rundown, and I'll be there taking in all the action. One other thing that fans can look out for if you're not in Montreal, if you're not in Vancouver this weekend, this Saturday, there's Bellator 36, the opening round of the lightweight tournament, which if last week's opening round of the welterweight tournament was an indication, and I heard some criticism of that card, but I personally enjoyed it quite a lot. So to me, if last week was any indication, this card should probably not be missed by hardcore fans. And the opening round of the lightweight tournament features some Bellator standouts we've seen before in Georgi Karahanyan, Patricio Freire, Wilson Heiss. So really, it's a quality tournament, and they just do seem to me to keep getting better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I enjoyed it myself quite a bit, and it's nice. This season seems quite engaging, and I'm definitely going to be tuning in on Saturday night. Since I unfortunately can't be in Vancouver to see Trevor Duick fight, I had to laugh when you said that Tony probably hits harder, because I guarantee Tony hits harder than Trevor does. Just joking. It's going to be awesome to see Trevor make his debut in the cage. Totally going to be rooting for him from the other side of the mountains. That's, plenty of respect out to Trev for putting in the work, really. You know, I think getting in the cage, if anyone's followed his fighting ambition diaries on MMASucka.com, they'd know that he's been putting in the work and just sort of following his trials and tribulations of being a regular guy who decides, yeah, I'm gonna live the lifestyle of a fighter. It's been a lot of work for him, and so hopefully it all pays off for him on Saturday night, because might be the start of big things to come. Maybe he'll take to fighting, and this will be the first of many fights.
Could be. It sounds like it's a bit of a one-off for him, but regardless, it was certainly a lot of work, and it's a commendable undertaking. So, he said in his blogs that he already feels like a winner, and I think he should. It's not an easy thing to do, between the weight cutting and sharpening your skills in all areas, at least enough to compete, and, that's an impressive undertaking in itself.
Yeah, but this isn't the Special Olympics, he's got to win. No.
He certainly said as much that he feels, that he can. So it'll be exciting to watch, for sure.
Yeah, no, it's and there's another example. I believe, you know, BFL, they're on Fight Network, but can't watch it live. So if Jay Golshani's listening, we'd love to see the show menu. It's a great production value for anyone who has caught them on the Fight Network, and it would be awesome if he could hook up with Go Fight Live or someone like that, and we could watch BFL live when it happens. But for the rest of us that aren't going to be there, and you want to catch coverage of any and all the shows that are going to be taking place across Canada, MMACanada.net will have our reporters and photographers and videographers out at all the shows this weekend to bring you up-to-the-minute results that you can check out on our brand-new and revamped website. Go on there, sign up, register an account, jump into the forum, and let your voice be heard. Be sure to check it out, allnewmmacanada.net. But for now, in the meantime and in between time, I've been Dave Stanford with my partner Josh Oliveira, and this has been MMA Canada Radio. Peace out.
Peace.